We're reading this afternoon from the Psalm 26, a Psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honour dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. The opening words of this psalm define and describe the sacred content. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. Obviously, David was in prayer. But he was not performing an empty religious exercise as some people do. At Christmas time, many attend church who sadly do not make it a regular habit of life. Worshipping God is much more than attending a church once or twice a year. Indeed, I go further and say Christianity is much more than attending church every Sunday. It is much more than even reciting our own prayers on a regular basis in our own privacy. While religious activities form an important aspect of Christianity, they do not stand in isolation. For our worship and prayers to be effective, they must be accompanied by a righteous life. If our behaviour and conduct is not becoming of Christianity, then our prayers rise no higher than the ceiling. David was conscious of his need of what he called righteousness. This was holiness of life and purity of actions. Therefore, as he prayed, he cried out, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity." The word integrity means to be pure, to be innocent, to be moral. David could claim before God that he was living with a clear conscience. This emphasizes that Christianity is more than a profession and a label. It is certainly much more than a simple decision. Christianity is a commitment to Christ and a consecration to the Saviour. Christianity is a way of life. But for those who live in that way, God will respond to their prayers. Today, as we think about this psalm, I wish to talk about the power of a righteous life. In the first place, we'll think about the examination of a righteous life. David asked God to judge him and examine him. Here was a man who lived his life before the Lord. He had a clear conscience in God's sight. Sometimes we are over-anxious about how others see us and view us. What the writer of this psalm was concerned about was this: how does God view me? As the great judge looks into our lives, our conduct, our attitude, our thoughts, what does he see? What book does he read? As he examines us, does he see and observe a righteous life? Are we able to come before God with honesty and say, "Judge me, examine me"? Let's also think about the gratitude from a righteous life. A righteous life is never self-righteous. Self-righteousness believes that we are able to procure our own righteousness. This is a false concept. We have no righteousness. We are nothing but poor lost sinners who fall far short of God's standards. Therefore, one who is truly walking God's way is thankful always for the love of God. Therefore, David wrote, "For thy loving kindness is ever before mine eyes." This was something he could never forget, that God loved him. As the children's hymn states, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." There is also the rule for a righteous life here. What is the rule by which a righteous life is regulated? David was absolutely clear, "I have walked in thy truth." God in his wisdom lays down a framework for human behaviour. It is the moral law. It is the principle of his holy nature. God's word provides the tracks upon which the railroad of our lives should run. And if we refuse to roll along God's track, we will end up in ruin. How necessary it is that we follow the truth of God's word. Let's also consider the separation and a righteous life. David identified his righteousness as one of separation. He did not sit with vain people. He hated the assembly of the wicked. Many people have taken the wrong path in life because of evil company. Paul wrote that evil communications corrupt good manners. The wrong influence can destroy the best of people. Therefore, we must take care who we expose ourselves to. And then David talked about the proclamation from a righteous life. David had a desire to publish the wondrous works of God. He wished to use his life to tell all around him about the greatness and the goodness of his God. He wished to use his voice for God, to promote God. As he had a life that was lived with a clear conscience, he was then able to talk about his faith. We will not be able to speak about our faith if we do not have the life to support our words. No one listens to the hypocrite. There is the love of a righteous life. David's love was for the Lord's house, the place where God's honour dwelleth. The righteous man and woman is supported and encouraged by regular times of public worship. During such seasons, we not only fellowship with God's people, but we hear God's word being taught. A true Christian will want to attend a place of worship every Sunday, because there he will receive food for his soul. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to attend a church where the gospel is simply preached and where God's word is faithfully taught. This is vital for your spiritual growth. Finally, we also observe here the redemption of a righteous life. In the verse 12, David cried out to his God, "Redeem me and be merciful unto me." Redemption means to be purchased. The Christian is ever aware that he has been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died, he paid the price of our salvation. Precious, precious blood of Jesus ever flowing free, shed for sinners, shed for rebels, shed for me. Are you redeemed? If you wish to be a Christian, it is vital that you know that you are redeemed. The only way by which you can know that you are redeemed is when you trust and rest upon Christ alone for salvation. Augustus Toplady, the writer of Rock of Ages, wrote this: "Not the labours of my hands can fulfil the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow. All for sin cannot atone, thou must save, and thou alone." Righteousness is found in Christ, you see. Yes, we need to have a righteous life. That is important. We need to follow God's moral code, but we can only begin this life at the cross where Jesus died for sinful men. Therefore, I exhort you today to turn to Christ. We're thinking about Christ's birth, but let us think about why he came. Why did he come? We remember his coming at Christmas time, but why did he come as the little babe? Why was he born of a virgin that he might die? And why was it necessary that he should die? Because we are sinners. Because he worked out a righteousness for us. And he did that through the shedding of his blood. Have you truly put your faith in Christ? I would encourage you to do this very thing. I thank you for listening.